football playoffs, championships. Sorry, New England fans. But others are rejoicing in the same breath. But there's, you know, the college games, the high school games. It's in the air. You know, whether you like them or not, it seems to always be on. And there is some excitement with it. For one high school close by, it must have been written in the stars not too many weeks ago. 3 seconds left. In fear of an overtime against a powerhouse, Newtown High School. They wrote the end of the script. Would they prevail? Would they prevail? They did. Their storybook season, Newtown, 13-0. An amazing. December 14th against number 3 Darien. 3 seconds left. You know, the quarterback throws the pass, 36-yard bomb. He catches it, and he goes in for the touchdown. They win. They prevail. It's amazing. They hadn't won a championship in years, since 1992. A perfect season, 13-0. You know, a storybook. But that wasn't even the story of that day. And many of you know this, that 7 years ago was the Sandy Hook Elementary School, you know, disaster, tragedy. 7 years ago. You know, would the community ever be able to hope again? You know, is there, you know, when there's tragedy like that and loss, can you ever hope again? You know, does it depend on a football game? Well, maybe in little ways. A lot of the community showed up, and maybe a lot of the, you know, class double L, you know, other schools. But they were there. And when the victory happened, that the game was over, the touchdown, they won the victory, didn't even have to kick the extra point, 13-7. The whole community flooded onto the field, rejoicing, tears. You know, you can imagine. And there must be some inside stories with all those families and some of the players and coaches. But hope and promise and healing. Healing for a community in little ways, but maybe big ways. There can be a brighter future, you know, because of communities rallying and even around a football game. So, New England fans, just hang in there. There'll be another victory one day. Well, in Jeremiah 31:9, many years earlier, it says, "With weeping they shall come, and by supplication I will lead them." So they're crying out their prayers, and people are returning home. It's kind of a homecoming kind of an atmosphere there. You know, we're given the unforgettable image of a once broken community, the Israelites, the chosen people, rejoicing through tears, beseeching God's favor, even as they're the new reality of restoration has not taken place. It's merely a promise that this will happen. A journey of transformation marked by the grief of a community still waiting for the Lord. Still waiting for the Lord and unable to forget what they have lost. There is an emotional complexity of renewal for individuals and communities that have suffered in the aftershock of devastation. It's a complicated thing to hope again, isn't it? Some know that quite well. You might be in the midst of it. But there is hope. There's always hope. But it's complicated. The experience of healing can be painful as well as joyous. Yet even if we give up on God, and maybe some of us have given up on God, you know, where is he? Where was he? You know, where is he now? Even if we give up on God, he never gives up on us. We can walk away from him and from his path and wander away. And many of us have rebelled or are rebelling or will rebel. But he never gives up on it. He always welcomes us home. Even if we walk away from our calling on our life, it does not change who God is. It does not change. Our circumstances or our action or inaction, it does not change who God is. Well, maybe you have gone through a time of suffering, or you're in the midst of it, or there's a loved one or a friend or an acquaintance or somebody at work, and you're alongside them, and you just don't know what to do. You know? Sometimes it can only be God. Well, God is always present. His promise is to be with you. Jesus says, as we believe in Him, He says, always I am with you. We may not see Jesus physically, but we do see Him through others and His presence by the Spirit. His promise is, I am always with you. You are never alone. Always with you. No matter our failures or hurts or brokenness or ailments or challenges, you know, even our disobedience at times, our unfaithfulness, God wants to be our Father. He wants to be our testimony to deliver us and set us free to worship and serve Him all the days of our life. The Thursday morning men's group, it is a huge group of four men. And I know the hour's not good, but if any guys are looking for a 6:30 a.m., you know, we read through the Scriptures together, and we're done by 7:30. But we've been reading Scripture together. It's good to read aloud, and we've been using the Immerse program. We are a remedial group. We're a little bit behind some of the other groups. We're in Book 3, and it's the Prophets. But we read this section of Jeremiah on Thursday. I was thrilled. We all were thrilled. Because Jeremiah, for the most part, it is about judgment. It's about judgment. It's about judgment. You know you disobeyed, so this is going to happen. And then the next few lines. You know you disobeyed, so this is going to happen. And you know you disobeyed. It's like, yeah, we hear you. So all of a sudden, this bright spot, the last few weeks, you know, we've been reading in Jeremiah for 5 weeks over maybe 2 months because some of the, you know, the holidays and stuff. And we've got about 3 more weeks of Jeremiah. This little section of chapters 30 through 33, in the midst of kind of a, wow, this is tough to keep reading this, but we'll get to that a little bit. There's a bright spot. And it's word pictures and a promise of hope for the future of Judah and Israel. And that's what was read today. And great job, Peg. You are a tremendous reader. God's Word came alive this morning. But it's a, you know, people who were disobedient. You know, if you can imagine, you know, the children of Israel, all that God had done to deliver them and they're in the promised land. They get there and, you know, their things are good. God had won their battles for them. And, you know, for the most part, they were, you know, just right in the palm of God's hands. But then all the pagan world around them and their worship of other idols, you know, images and the worship of Baal with, you know, you don't even want to hear about all the sacrifices that even the Israelites were making to Baal. And this is Bible. And you know, why would they be doing that? Because sometimes if God doesn't act right when we want Him to, we're going to take things into our own hands. I got this, Lord. So, but God, you know, God was there for them. And the people would repent and they would return to Jerusalem. God went before them. And they were brought back to their land and they were blessed. And this promise in Jeremiah 31, it goes to the future, folks. There are still some of those promises that have not been fulfilled. Maybe it'll be in our day and age. A lot's going on. But we trust God. Do you know Zach Williams' song, The Rescue, or it's just called Rescue Story? Oh, if you haven't heard that. I tell you, I almost jumped out of my car driving the other day. It was so amazing. I'll read you some of the lines. It's on K-Love, or you can Google it. This is real good stuff. There I was, empty-handed, crying out from the pit of my despair. There you were in the shadows, holding out your hand. You met me there. And where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? And that line just kind of repeats a lot. Where would I be without you? You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You are my rescue story. Lifted me up from the ashes, carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You are my rescue story. You were writing the pages before I had a name, before I needed grace. Oh, singing songs of redemption, because every time I ran away, you were louder than my shame. And now where would I be without you? You are my rescue story. Maybe you're waiting for your rescue story. There are those who have gone before you. The Bible stories are clear. Trust God and you will have that rescue story. God will be your rescue story. There's always hope. There's always hope. Jeremiah tells us God will orchestrate a great reversal so that destruction gives way to restoration. Exile becomes a homecoming. And grief is replaced by joy. And our passage clearly shows this great reversal in action. To the point, if we read on to verse 31, they talk about a new covenant. It's all heading somewhere. You know, that new covenant, we know a little bit about that. And John 1, we read about it. But verses 8 and 9, I just want to look there briefly. As we're all preparing for the Lord's Supper. Verses 8 and 9 recall that the return from exile will be a new exodus, unlike the former, better. It will include those who would be hard-pressed to make the trip, the blind, the lame, those with children and women that are pregnant with children. And that means, you know, many others that would not be able to make the trip, or those who are left behind or on the fringes, everybody's included. There'll be no shortage of water in verse 9. And there'll be a straight path. No more wandering in the desert for 40 years. There'll be a straight path right through to Jerusalem. We're going back. But the final affirmation is really what this is all about today. In verse 9, the last part. For I have become a father to Israel. I have become your father. Well, wasn't he always? Well, yeah. But they didn't view him that way. Let me just share briefly with you. And my sisters and I have been texting our memories about our father. Many of you know my dad is not. He's, you know, in his last days, weeks, months. He just was brought to hospice on Friday. And it's a good thing, pain control. He's hoping now to go back home tomorrow that he would die there. I'm proud of my dad in many ways. He's, you know, they talked about it, he and his wife, Diana. Will I make it to Christmas? I don't know. It'd be good. Will I make it to New Year's? Well, that would be good. You know, he's open. He basically said, my times are in God's hands. But we've been sharing, my sisters and I, sharing the memories 5 weeks ago, the day after Thanksgiving, and, you know, gathered around him, even had a prayer time, and my sisters got to connect with him. They hadn't in a long time, and we saw my stepbrother, our stepbrother, with his wife and baby. It was like, wow, it was quite a gathering. But the texts the last couple of days, just memories, trips, Colorado River, Green River Rapids trips, Florida, Wisconsin, the Ozarks, and Dad never missed our games and our meets. And, you know, I think there's always those pings of, oh, guilt, I should be saying more, or oh, I wish I had resolved this. And, you know, you know how those things can go. But the positive memories are prevailing. There were times we all were distant from Dad. And, you know, 20 years ago, I dealt with that, and it was connected to repentance. You know, when you're pointing your finger, maybe not literally, but always blaming other people for your own problems, You know, there's got to be a shine your light on me, Lord. Maybe I just need to do what I need to do for me. So I repented. And I have to do that, you know, ever so often, maybe every day, continually. But my younger sister Kim called and reconciled with our stepmother and dad, a little bit dad. You know, he's more with her, and my older sister's going to call soon. And so God's doing a work, even in this loss. Where there was no hope of relationship with dad, hey, there's strong connections happening now. It's never too late. It's never too late. So that final affirmation, for I have become a father to Israel, is so powerful. He is our Abba Father. He's our El Shaddai. He loves us and cares for us and all people in Israel. Because back in chapter 3, verse 19, God had said, I thought you would call me my father. All that I've done for you, I thought you would call me my father. But they did not. They walked away for years. But God will be their father anyway. That's a remarkable testimony of the character of God. Death and loss are inescapable. Repentance and return to God is always necessary. It's always necessary. And maybe we did a little of that work earlier in our prayer time, our confession time. And grace abounds all the time. It's not dependent on our behavior or our church attendance or how much we give. Grace is free. The grace of God is free. It's a gift. It abounds. Well, and the judgments of God that were coming down in Jeremiah, that it's hard to slog through it, but it's reality. It really happened. It's not how God willed it to be or wanted it to be. It was because of disobedience and consequences of sin. God is a just God, and the chips have to fall. But the positive declarations of chapters 30 and 33, we read a little bit in 31, and just the images and the pictures of homecoming, renewal, rejoicing and dancing and singing. They do not cancel the judgment, but they do communicate what God wills for all people. This is what homecoming is like. This is what coming home to God is like. God stayed faithful. It's this new covenant. It's grounded in the grace of God. God will be our Father, even when we refuse to address God as our Father. His everlasting love in verse 3. It's His faithfulness in verse 3. His mercy, if you jump to verse 20. Those of you who know the rescue story song know that I didn't get to the best part, did I? He forgot half the song. What's wrong with that, Pastor? Be patient. No, the end goes this, like this. You never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. You are my testimony. You are my rescue story. You never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. You never gave up on me, oh God. You are my rescue story. Will you claim that today? You can claim that today. Or work or live into that. I want you to be my rescue story, my testimony, oh God. You know where I'm at. You know what I'm in the midst of. Well, lastly here, John 1 was read. And that's the most positive declaration of God's purpose, the Word of God, the purpose of God is light. And that all would believe and there'd be grace upon grace. And this is the life that God will. So don't let it be a complicated thing to hope again. The Scriptures are clear. Our future is bright. We trust in the Lord. We believe in Him. He will lead us and guide us. And He's with us in the ashes, in the mess, in the destruction. Verse 7 began the section by inviting joy or gladness. The homecoming, restoration, it can and will happen in our relationship with God, our Abba Father. The Israelites needed this word of promise. Most of you know that this word of promise came just before 70 years of exile. Oh my gosh. But God said, you know, you're going to Babylon, so bloom where you're planted. Let me help you make a life for yourself. Bless others in the midst of what you're in the midst of. God is there. Make the best of it. God is with you. Bloom where you're planted. You know, we need this reminder that though we will have trouble, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with you. He will answer you when you call. Let Him fight your battles. You know? Let Him fight your battles. Jeremiah 29, which is only a couple chapters before 31. Unless there's new math. God says, I know the plans I have for you. And we can just leave it at that. I know the plans that I have for you. And He's smiling. He's smiling. Do you want those plans too? I do. Walk in it by faith. We can rest in the shadow of the Lord's presence. Let God be your rescue story, your testimony today. Amen.